Amen. Wonderful things that the Lord has done and is doing. Do you know that 2012 is a year that God can do some mighty things for you and for me and in the work of the ministry and the work of the church? We've been encouraging everyone as we get this new year started to really build some important disciplines into your life as you start this new year. And started off with last Sunday morning by talking about the first strand in this threefold cord. That was prayer, the importance, the value of prayer. That this is from Matthew chapter 6, a threefold cord that's mentioned in this chapter. Prayer being the first emphasis, and then last Sunday night, the second strand of fasting, and how that the Lord works in our lives, and we are to be challenged to set aside times to fast, to pray, to seek the Lord. There are some churches that are collectively fasting together in a Daniel fast or just in a total fast, anything from just a few days. Some churches are doing 21-day fast. I think it's important that you listen to the Lord and that you pray and fast as God leads you and directs you into fasting. And then this morning, we're going to look at the third strand from Matthew chapter 6. And if you'll look there with me, we're going to read Matthew 6, beginning with verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Moving down to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. So we've been looking at this, and I think it's important that we continue to give emphasis to these areas so that we'll be on a good foundation as we move into this new year, especially in light of the fact that this is not the only place in the Scripture where you see the three strands. For those of you who were here Wednesday night, we spoke from Acts chapter 10 and the story of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, a centurion, who was responsible for 100 soldiers. Not only that, but the Bible says he was of the Italian band, so he was really an elite soldier, born in Italy, and so he... He was a man of real influence, and really you would assume that he would have been an unlikely person, and that Caesarea would be an unlikely place because it was named for Caesar Augustus. And that's where the headquarters for the Roman armies were. And so you can see all the reasons why that there wouldn't be a move of God there such as occurred. This was such a great move of God. Cornelius was so used of God that a great door was opened up. And now the gospel was going to go to all of the known world, not just to the Jewish nations, but it was going to go to all of the Gentiles. And Cornelius was used of God. And you'll see in that chapter that he was a man who had been fasting when he had the vision, that he was a man who prayed often and gave alms regularly. That set him aside. And so it was this threefold strand in his life. And really, he did not know. Apparently, all that I can understand about Cornelius is that he was just seeking after God. He didn't know a whole lot about God or about the gospel. He was just in pursuit of God, trying to learn more about the things of God. But whenever he prayed, whenever he fasted, whenever he gave alms, then God used that threefold strand to be something powerful in his life and use him in a mighty way to open up a great door for the gospel to all of the world. Praise the Lord. I just believe that as we pray together, fast together, and learn the disciplines of praying and fasting and giving on a regular basis, we'll see the hand of the Lord moving in great power in our life. Have you thought about this much? It's been on my mind a lot for quite a while. Lord, I just need that something extra. I just need something new, fresh, powerful, that can have an impact for these days that we're living in. And I need that. I understand that. And I really believe that the Lord has given us these passages of Scripture as an insight so that we can know what we can do, a pathway, a foundation for us to pursue the things of the Lord, to see the power of God demonstrated in a wonderful way. Amen. Now, there are warnings in this text. We're warned to not do these things like the hypocrites do. The hypocrites were just putting on a show. They were play actors. And they weren't real. They weren't genuine. And so the warning was, don't do like these, but instead be real, be sincere, do it from your heart. And certainly do not do it to get the approval of men. Don't do it publicly. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving in a public service. There's nothing wrong with making a commitment to give in a public service. That's not the issue at all. The issue is that they were giving because they wanted to be seen and they wanted it to be known that they were praying and they were fasting and they were giving. That's why the Scripture says they have their reward. But if you do this as worship, as you do this privately between you and the Lord, your prayers, your fasting, your giving, whenever you do it as worship, between you and the Lord, God who sees in secret will reward you openly. Praise God. And I'm believing that the Lord is going to do just that. But today we get to talk about this third strand, giving. Amen. Now, I enjoy talking about giving. I really do. And I know that some folks in church, they get nervous when you start talking about giving. And let me just say very bluntly, if you're real nervous about it, it's because I believe there's the things of this world have too much of your heart. And the material things of this world have gotten too much of a hold of your heart. Because I believe that Christians, people that are born again, they get excited about the fact that we can be involved in the work of the kingdom of God and we can even give to God and to the work of the Lord. So just a few basics to start with here this morning, and that is, first of all, we know that God owns it all anyway. He owns it all anyway. It's His. And so the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It all belongs to Him. It's His. And so that's just foundational for every Christian. If we're going to be a giver, we have to be reminded of the fact that everything I have, it's really His. And He's just given it to me for a certain amount of time to be a steward, a manager of it. But really, it's His anyway. Amen. God owns it all. And you say, well, I don't know about that. I work real hard. I earn all the money that I've got. Do you know that the scripture is very clear about that? That even that you've earned, even if you've got a lot, that it's God that's given you the power. He's the one that's given you the strength. He's the one that's given you the ability to do what you have done. If you've earned and made a lot of money and you have a lot of this world's goods, for whatever reason, God is the one that has shown you His blessing and His favor in your life. It's not what you have done. He owns it all and He's in control of it all. And so it is the Lord who gives the power to get wealth. Why? That He may establish His covenant in the earth. There's such a close attachment between our money and our heart. The Bible is very clear about that. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow very closely. Whatever you treasure, whatever you are investing in, whatever you're doing with your money and doing with your time, your heart is going to be right there with it. You're not able to get away. Your affections are going to follow what you invest in. Amen. So when you give to the church, when you give to missions, when you give to the work of God, you give to the people that are in need or whatever that you're compelled to give to, then you're going to have a tendency to love those. You're going to love those. Your heart is going to follow those that you have given to. Amen. There are other warnings in the scripture all the way back to the children of Israel. Whenever they were coming in the promised land, the warning was, your flocks are going to multiply. Your herds are going to multiply. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to have all these blessings that are going to come your way. But then the Lord said, beware, beware, lest you get all of these things and you forsake the Lord. You forget the Lord. There's also something about money and materialism, the things of this world, that it has such an effect upon your mind and your heart that you can't trust your heart. The scripture calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Jesus warned about that. They that will be rich are those that their life goal is, I want to be rich. I want to have everything. That person that will be rich, he desires to be rich. He's giving it his all. He's working hard. He's saving. He's investing. He's doing everything he can because he wants a little bit more of what this world has to offer. The Bible says, danger, danger, if that becomes something that is the pursuit of your life. The scripture says that they fall into temptation, into a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Of course, it's not money, but when you allow that desire for more to be out of control, that covetous spirit to get control of your life, then out of it, that is the seed that every evil thing springs out of, the scripture says. So it's a dangerous thing to misuse or to not follow the plan of God when it comes to the blessing and the resources that God gives to us. Let me tell you, giving has a wonderful effect. Giving helps break the materialistic hold that the things of this world have in your life. That's why they were told in the scripture, on the first day of the week, every week, don't let too much time go by that you don't give, because if you do, then those things will become more important to you. They'll become a part of your life, and you won't want to give them up. And so the scripture says, on the first day of the week, let that person lay by in store as God has prospered him. Every week, or if you don't get paid every week, every time you get paid, or in whatever way that you are increased, that whenever you are, that let that be the reminder to you that God's blessed me today or this week or this month. And so let that be a reminder to you that I need to give. I need to bring tithes and offerings, and I need to be a giver, because when I do that, it breaks the hold of materialism in my life. Amen. Amen. You know, God, whenever we give, God has so arranged it. God has so designed us this way that when we give, that it increases our love for God. And I've already mentioned that your heart follows closely what you give. So whenever you give to God and to the work of God, then you draw nearer to the Lord. You get closer to God. It's a special, wonderful thing that you're able to give to God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, we read this as a part of the text this morning. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So when you give to the kingdom of God, when you are investing and giving, as the Bible instructs us to, we are showing our love for God and we're laying up treasures in heaven. We're making heavenly, eternal investments that can be stolen, are never going to corrupt. They're never going to be lost in an investment. Amen. Because you have invested in the kingdom of God. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you have a lot or if you have very little. Every one of us are to be givers. Amen. You say, but you don't know. I don't have any money. I don't get hardly any money at all. You need to be a giver. You need to be a giver. You need to understand that we are stewards. We are responsible for what God gives to us. And if you have little, but you go ahead and you give faithfully to the Lord and to needs and to missions and to the poor and all these areas of responsibility that we each of us have, whenever we give, we'll experience a change of heart. We'll experience a break. You don't have to have a lot of things to be materialistic. You can be as poor as you can possibly be, but still have your heart set on things and the things of this world. And when you give regularly, it helps you to break that hold that materialism can have upon your life. Amen. The Bible says that we are to be faithful stewards. It's required in stewards that they be faithful. That's the call of God for every believer when you become a Christian. There's nothing, it's just as spiritual of an act to give as your times of prayer or fasting. It's just as spiritual when you give the biblical way and you give to the work of the kingdom of God and from your heart, then God uses what you are giving, whether it be little or much. That's the reason why that God has designed the tithe, because God has arranged it that we would all give the same thing. If your tithes are $1, You can realize here this morning that you can stand right beside the Christian who their tithes might be $10,000. And you have given before God and in the sight of God the exact same amount as far as God is concerned. God wants us to give proportionately. Amen. That's why if you have little, you can still bring your tithe. You can still worship with what little you have. You can still be a giver. So don't be discouraged. I know that sometimes people who get in a hard economy or they go up against really difficult times and there's not very much money. And I've heard people say, I just wish I could do more. I just wish I could give and I had more that I was able to give. You do. Give proportionately. Give as God has prospered you. That is the proportionate gift. As I've said, whether it be a dollar or $10,000, when you give proportionally, God smiles upon your giving because you are giving in a biblical manner. Be faithful stewards. In the scripture, there are 700 references in giving in the Bible. In the New Testament, there are more references to giving in the New Testament than there are to the Lord Jesus is coming. So it's a Bible topic that cannot be ignored. It is a third strand, I believe. Now, can you imagine? Here's Cornelius who prays to a God that he hardly knows. He fasts seeking a God that he doesn't know just a little bit about. No doubt he'd have been exposed to some Jewish people who had faith in God and were worshiping the Lord, but he had just a limited understanding about God, but yet he was praying, he was fasting, he was giving alms, and so what he was doing is it was an expression of the fact that his heart was after God, In every area of his life, he was pursuing the Lord and the things of the Lord with his life. Amen. You know, whenever you're a giver, you're never any more like the Lord when you are a giver. When you're a giver, you're so much like him because it reveals the nature of God. Because God gives. Everything about God is an expression of his outpouring of love, his giving to us, his ministering to needs. God so loved that he gave, and he continues to give everything we have need of, forgiveness and peace and the power of God, and on the list goes of the wonderful daily benefits that he gives to us. God is just continually giving. Every day he's giving to us. The Bible is very clear that every good gift, the source of it is God. It comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift, all of these things that come into our life, none of it is a coincidence. None of it is because of your greatness or your talent or who you might be. It is all because God so loves and he so gives and gives and gives and gives. Amen. Every good gift comes from him. Matthew 5 and 42, freely have you received, freely give. Amen. Be a giver. Be a giver and see the great spiritual blessing that comes to our life whenever we give. Even Jesus himself in his short little years of ministry here in this world, he was doing nothing in those years but giving. His teaching was a pouring out of his love for the people. He ministered to the poor. He healed the sick. He empowered the disciples. He fed the multitudes. Everywhere he went about doing good. Amen. It was always a pouring out. It was always a giving of himself, of his life, of his power, of his blessing. He was always giving. And as the church, as believers, that should be the spirit of every one of us. Givers. Givers. And always excited and looking forward to ways that we can be a giver to God. Half of the parables were about the stewardship of money, gifts, time, on and on. All of these parables, half of them, had to do either directly or indirectly with the whole topic of stewardship. So how are we to give? Well, the Bible says we're to be generous givers. Amen. Generous givers. That we give even beyond what we're capable of giving. I'm not suggesting that you go in debt. I'm just saying that you give to great measure. A wonderful scripture that is in Luke chapter 6, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, this verse is talking about when they would sell items like grain, that they would measure out a certain measurement, a certain meat of grain, and they would pour it in, and then for good measure, they would put more on top of it because they knew that it was going to settle. And so they would put more on top of it. And that's what the scripture is talking about. A good measure, that good measure for good measure on top. Here's some more in case that the measurement might in any way not be enough. And then it says, press down. It would press it down and then pour more in on top of that. And shaking together, it would shake it real good so that more could be put in. That's the kind of giver we're to be. Not skimpy, not grudgingly giving. Not with an attitude as, I'm just going to give just as little as I can get by with. But instead, you're going to give good measure. Pressed down, shaking together. You're going to be looking for ways that you can give more to God. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We're to be generous givers. I challenge you this year. Amen. Now, I've heard this over the years. I remember when I was between my junior and senior year in Bible school, I was working in a shop. And they quickly learned I was a preacher. I was a Bible school student. And so I had to listen to all the jokes. And they would tell all the things to try to rib me. you know, tell nasty stories and see how I was going to respond and things like that. And I can remember one of the things they love to do is get around the lunchtime and talk about how that preachers, all they do is preach for 45 minutes on Sunday morning, and then they get all of that money. They take the offering and they get all of that money. And all those guys were crazy. They had no concept of what the ministry was about. So I just kind of smile, let them talk, and not really worry about it. But it has nothing to do giving. Whenever a preacher gets up and talks about giving, he's not necessarily interested in that he's going to reap the benefit of it directly, maybe indirectly, but he will definitely see the people of God, the congregation, begin to enjoy the blessing and the favor of God. That's what we want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see God touching your life spiritually and blessing you in every area of your life because you have determined that I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I am going to give. I'm going to give privately. I'm going to give so that no one else knows necessarily what I'm doing, but I'm doing it for the glory of God. Amen. So you give generously and be reminded that everything counts. God sat at the treasury and watched that widow with her two mites. We often talk about the widow's mite, but let's give her the credit she deserves. There were two mites. And the widow's mites, she gave two. And Jesus sat by the treasury. There's a lesson there in that because he was observing and watching that she had given her all. And even there were those others who were rich and wealthy who came through and gave great amounts of money, but Jesus noticed that when she gave her two mites, that she gave everything that she had. Again, a lesson in proportionate giving. God is aware of what's going on. He knows everything that you do. Mark 9 and 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belonged to the Lord, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Just a cup of cool water. In the name of the Lord, whatever you do, whatever you give, something as small as that, God is watching and aware of everything that we do. Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a greater blessing in your life to give. I guess everyone likes to receive, but the greater blessing, and really I think it's a spiritual lesson for every one of us, that we need to learn that God can work in your life to such a degree that you will enjoy the blessing of giving more than receiving. Amen. Now let's talk a minute about the tithe. The scripture says, now the tithe, the word, just means one-tenth. So if you hear someone say, I give 12% tithe, they're not giving 12% tithe. They're giving 10% tithe and a 2% offering. Amen. There's no such thing as 11% tithe, 12% tithe. The tithe literally means one-tenth. And so we know that throughout the scripture, in Leviticus, the tithe, the scripture says that the tithe was holy. It is holy unto the Lord. Again, this connection between what we give and our worship. It is something that is holy unto the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord. Again, it's worship to God. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The principle is worship the Lord by bringing the first fruits of that which God has blessed you with. Give it to him first. Amen. And watch God work and bless your life. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. So that gives the indication where the tithe goes. Brother Huff was always very careful. He did not want to encourage people at Share-a-thon time to give their tithes to radio ministry. When we're on the air during Share-a-thon, we remind folks the tithe belongs in the storehouse. It belongs with the local church. We're not asking for tithe whenever money is given to other ministries or giving in other areas. The tithe belongs in the storehouse. The storehouse is that place where you have joined together with other believers and we are working together in the kingdom together to accomplish more together than we could ever by ourselves. The storehouse is the place where you are being spiritually fed. The storehouse is the place where all the needs and the work of the local ministry can be met. The expansion of the ministry, the evangelization in the community, many other needs can be met through the tithe whenever people bring their tithe into the storehouse. I've already mentioned that it should be done on the first day of the week. Come to church on the Lord's Day. Bring your tithe. And as an act of worship, it's always encouraging to me whenever I see that people have prepared. They're not caught off guard by the offering time. They already have their check written. They already have everything ready, prepared. It indicates that they have their heart. They were planning to worship God with their giving. Amen. Bring it to the storehouse. But not only is the tithe for the local church, but the tithe, according to the scripture, is also a test. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord. Put God to the test. When you bring the tithe to the storehouse, the Lord says, prove me. See if you are faithful in this area, if I will not pour you out a blessing that you are not able to receive it. Amen. Amen. So you give and you bring your tithes, you worship the Lord, and you give from your heart. And so really, the tithe belongs to the Lord, and you bring it to the storehouse, and you commit it to God as you worship the Lord, and you prove the Lord. You put him to the test again and again and again, and he is always faithful. Amen. Praise God. What has to be the priority? Does it do anyone good? I know of people who, you know, don't go to church, don't serve the Lord, but they give money to church. We receive checks in the mail here at the church every once in a while from people who don't go to church. I don't know if they serve the Lord. I really don't know. I just know that they just send an offering in every once in a while to the church. But the real important matter is, and the real priority in giving is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." If you're going to worship the Lord with your giving, you have to, first of all, give your heart to God. First of all, bring yourself. And first of all, give yourself to the Lord. Now, let's talk about, in the next 3 minutes, let's talk about almsgiving, because that was in our text, that Cornelius gave alms in Matthew chapter 6. It described, what was almsgiving? What does it mean? Well, the word alms means compassionate giving. It literally means someone who is aware or in tune to needs. Amen. That is a person who is an alms giver. They are aware to the needs of people around them. And so they give. The scripture equates that giving with righteousness. It's the same thing. Almsgiving and righteousness are one in the same. They are equally the same thing. Actually, the Jews had a box at the synagogue for alms gifts. It was to be placed there. But many people, it was in the Jewish conversation, it was called the box of righteousness, because it revealed that their heart was toward God, and that they were sensitive and aware to people's needs all around them. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, it's pure religion. You can't get any better than this. It's pure religion. Pure and undefiled before God and the fathers is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The pure religion is that person who sees, almsgiving is that person who sees people in their need. And they're in tune to needs. And they give to those needs. And are willing to be used of God to meet needs. What a wonderful ministry. What a wonderful opportunity. Friday night, before Brother Huff went to heaven, I was at his house having conversation with him. And we talked about several different things. And then he brought up a minister friend of ours who he knew was in need. This person had gone through some health issues and hadn't been able to be active in their ministry for some time. So he said to me, how are they making it? How are they living? And I said, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm sure that they have a big need. He said, let's send them some money. Let's help them. He said, will you write the letter? I said, sure. So I got around to it on Monday. I wrote the letter. He gave me the check. On Tuesday, I wrote the letter. I sent the offering, which was sizable, to this brother. 2 days later, Brother Huff went to heaven. Glory to God. All the way to the last few days, he was an almsgiver. Here he is so sick, but yet he's thinking about this one that's in need. That is a person who is an almsgiver. Amen. I want to be like that. Amen. I'd like there to be an army of folks raised up right here at First Pentecostal Church that we're absolutely in tune with the needs of people. We're aware of their needs, and we want to do our best to meet their needs. You may not be able to give them very much money, but let me tell you, you can do something. You can pray for them. You can give to them, even if it's just a cup of cold water. You can minister to them in some way. You can help them and love them and pour the love of God out to them in their time of need. Don't ignore the need. I really do believe with all of my heart that this is the third strand by which God can really bless your life. And that's my prayer. Lord, bless our church, bless every individual and every family this year, 2012, to pray, to fast, and to give, and to be used of God in, to such degree that we experience this threefold cord that is not easily broken. That we have a supernatural touch of God and the help of God in our life as a result of our willingness to obey God in these three areas of our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you pour out to us and you give to us again and again and again and again. I thank you, Lord, that you have touched our lives so many times and you have used people, Lord, to give to us. And then, Lord, you've also given us opportunity to give and to bless other people. Now, I just pray today, Lord, for those in this meeting today that you would just speak directly to our hearts. And Lord, that something extra, that extra strength and power and blessing that we need in our lives and in our ministries, Lord, that we'd realize that these disciplines very well may be the means whereby we are able to have supernatural help. Praise God. Oh, Lord, do a work among people today. We pray in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know how many of you would like to make a commitment to the Lord, but I just want to encourage you before we leave this service today, as we close this service in prayer, and if there's anyone here today and you're not a Christian, you don't know the Lord, I want to welcome you here to this altar right now. Amen. Right here, in the presence of God, you can be set free from your sin, and you can receive the blessing of eternal life. Hallelujah. You can be saved. Glory to God. If there's anyone here today, you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, I want to encourage you, just come right now to this altar area, right here to the front. We want to join with you and pray with you and believe God to do a work of salvation in your life. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Then I just want to ask that everyone in this building, would you take this time right now as we pray together to commit yourself this year, 2012. Ask the Lord to help you to follow through regular prayer and fasting and giving. Be used of the Lord in ways that you haven't been before. Let's commit ourselves to this as a body, as a church. A lot of people are in need. Let's commit ourselves this morning as we pray together right now. Would you pray with me now? Lord, we know, Lord, that there's so much available Lord, to the people of God. And Lord, you just keep on pouring out blessing and blessing and blessing. And we thank you for that. I pray today, Lord, that you would minister to everyone in this service today. Lord, you know exactly what we're experiencing. You know our needs. You know, Lord, that without you, we're nothing. We have no power, no ability, nothing at all unless you come and bless and anoint our lives. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen every individual, every marriage, every family, every home. I pray, Lord, that you would work mightily, Lord, in all of our lives, from the youngest to the oldest here, Lord, that we'd experience your favor and your blessing this year like we haven't before. The touch of God upon our lives in a wonderful way. Oh, God, minister to every need here today. And may we all be challenged to walk in obedience to your word. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon us today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Could we take a moment before we leave? Just lift your hands and let's thank the Lord. Let's praise God for his wonderful blessing upon us this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. How we need your strength. And we thank you today, Lord, that you have promised power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we do glorify your name today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed today. Hope to see you tonight, 6:30. The choir will be meeting at 5:30. Let's gather in tonight.